Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water, doll. Oh, good Lord, she had them long tail legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song. You made me want to
Double S Express show number 31 getting underway. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Lots to get to in the sports world. What's going on, Sean Boyd?
Hey, well, man, a big weekend, man. It's been interesting to say the least. If you're a team, when we're talking about the NFL, if you're a team that is vying for playoff supremacy, it's been a great weekend. And if you're a team that just doesn't know which direction that your team is going, it's also been an interesting weekend as well, Sean Wally.
Where do we start? The NFL, 2 weeks left to go, not counting the Monday night game that is currently underway. 2 weeks of NFL action, week 16 and 17, and there's still a lot of playoff spots to be had.
This is a fun time of year, Sean. It's one of those, it's the time of year, you know, where you get nostalgic, of course, with the holidays upon us. You can sip a nice glass of eggnog mixed probably with one of your favorite beverages. And also, it's that time of the year where you as a fan, if you're an NFL football fan, you can, you know, grab a hold and say, hey, man, this is the time to where my team needs to make a move. And season's greetings to all, because this is, again, a fun time. Man, you have top teams such as New Orleans playing, Arizona, Seattle, San Francisco. I'm naming some NFC teams. Of course, you've got Denver, New England, Kansas City. You know, all of these teams vying for supremacy. And again, what a great time of year.
Yeah, Sean, what do you make of the top-tier teams that could have solidified their position or even cemented it in stone for the playoffs, and they fell off the map? You've got New England losing, New Orleans losing. I mean, the list goes on and on of teams that could have said, okay, we're for real and we're going to take that number one, number two seed. But uh-oh, they hit a big speed bump, and it's too early. You know, one game is too much to say. There's trouble in the waters for the New Englands. But you look at New England specifically, they lost Gronk for the year, so that took a chunk of their offense.
Yeah, you know, and wow, one person being gone from your offense, meaning Gronkowski, that was huge, because when you talk about the New England Patriots yesterday playing against the Miami Dolphins, and of course, who didn't think that Tom Brady wasn't going to come down on that final drive and take care of business? But he had to use a few different options, and of course, Gronkowski wasn't one of them. And, you know, to be honest with you, Sean, I thought that, you know, New England was going to come down and do it again. And, you know, they had four downs. It looked like, you know, the first down was their best down to actually get the touchdown. And, you know, they came up short. Hats off to Miami for playing a tough game. But, you know, New England had a chance to, like you said, solidify some things, and they just couldn't pull it off.
Absolutely. And you have New Orleans falling to the Rams, who St. Louis, led by Jeff Fisher, you know, they have been the biggest Jekyll and Hyde team this year. You thought coming into the season they were on an uptick and an upswing, and they've won a couple games and looked phenomenal at Indianapolis yesterday against New Orleans, and they've also fallen on their face here in 2013.
Yeah, you know, I thought that New Orleans was definitely going to take care of business against, you know, St. Louis, but, you know, again, as you mentioned, you know, that Jekyll and Hyde team, these are the types of teams, you know, if I was a top team, I would not want to play a St. Louis, you know, going down the stretch, because of what you just said. You know, these guys are, you know, trying to make a name for themselves, whether it's, you know, auditioning for another team, you know, with free agency coming up in the offseason, or if they just want to play for pride. I mean, St. Louis, a Jeff Fisher-led team, you know, at some point is going to, you know, to be disciplined. I just didn't see that happening yesterday the way it did. I mean, just an utter dominance, you know, with the Rams. And, of course, they've had their issues with quarterback and, you know, with injuries. And, you know, to, for them to go in and take care of a Drew Brees, Sean Payton-led team like that is nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, most definitely. And the weather was not as big a factor this weekend as it was last weekend with the snowstorms on the East Coast. Of course, you had Cleveland dealing with the snow. And how about the Browns? They came to play. Their defense showed up big time as they had not one but two defensive scores.
Yeah, you know, I always look at Cleveland as, you know, those teams, they're the huge question mark in the NFL. At some point, they're going to have to turn things around. And it seems like, you know, they're just maybe one player away. And, of course, when they traded, you know, Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts, you know, in the middle of the season, you thought, wow, well, they were just throwing the season away and tanking it. But Cleveland has played great football. They played good football. And they're a competitive football team. And so, you know, for them to try to find their identity in the offseason and the next year, it's going to be very important. I mean, you know, the city of Cleveland has been snake bitten time and time again as far as wishful thinking on a you know, great football team. They played Chicago tough. And, you know, hats off to the Chicago Bears, you know, with Jay Cutler coming back into the lineup and being able to do what he did. It took him almost, you know, three quarters before he actually looked like Jay Cutler. So Cleveland played well yesterday.
So what else in Week 15 has surprised you? We have to definitely go out to Dallas, the Cowboys and the Packers. Dallas having a 26-3 lead, and then Matt Flynn happened.
You're kidding, right? I mean, when you say, you know, surprising, we're not talking about surprising Dallas Cowboys surprising. We're talking about surprising Green Bay Packers. That's what you're saying, right?
Surprising that Matt Flynn was able to bring his team back for sure.
Okay.
And
okay.
Definitely not surprising that Romo happened once again in the fourth quarter
okay,
in December.
I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page because, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised at Matt Flynn. That has baffled me. But, you know, the whole Dallas Cowboy debacle, that doesn't surprise me. And, you know, I've said this, you know, all year long that train, that Tony Romo train is never late. And, you know, when he decides to throw the game away, he can do it at any given time. But, you know, by any means, he's the quarterback. And, you know, what I saw yesterday, you know, from Tony Romo, it was just typical. But as you're saying, Sean Wally, I'm very surprised at the whole Matt Flynn thing. I mean, let's face it. He was in Seattle's camp last year, you know, took a little bit of money there and en route to Oakland, took some more money there. And, you know, we think that his career is over and he goes to Buffalo and Buffalo says, we don't want this guy. He's not what we think he is. And then he goes right back to Green Bay where it all started, where he had that one game. And now he's playing like, you know, like one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, at least for that one game yesterday he did, and he looked superb.
Absolutely, and Matt Flynn is doing more than a serviceable backup job in Green Bay, which he was not able to do in Seattle or down in Oakland. It's just amazing how he can put on the Green Bay jersey and helmet, and all of a sudden, does he have more confidence just because he's more familiar with that team and that system, or is there just some sort of great click and connection with the Packers? It's really odd.
I think it's both. I think as a quarterback, you have to be comfortable with the offensive scheme. And I think that maybe, you know, Flynn wasn't comfortable in Seattle or Oakland or Buffalo, as weird as that may sound, that he wouldn't be comfortable in Seattle. I think he finds some type of solace in Green Bay, and he loves being in that atmosphere, and he performs well. He fits Green Bay perfectly. I mean, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers being out. There's talks that Aaron Rodgers might be out for the rest of the year, and wouldn't that be a feel-good story? I mean, after, of course, being hated here in Oakland, you know, for him to go to Green Bay and do some good things, and now they're vying for a playoff spot, and that would be thanks to Matt Flynn. I think that's a great feel-good story for the NFL.
What do you think of the teams that, as we talked about at the start of the show, had a chance to cement their position in the playoffs and get that spot and say, you know what, we're ready for the second season? You've got teams like the Eagles losing to the Vikings 48-30, a shootout, but you lose by 18 to the 4-9-1 Vikings, who at the time had 3 wins. Now they have 4. It's just amazing how many teams could have taken hold of that spot and said, we're for real, we're going for it. Does that mean is this parity rearing its head, or did team just have a flat day that should have been favored and should have maybe won some games this past weekend?
Yeah, you know, we talk about the short season. You know, every year we're always talking about, man, maybe the NFL should go to 18 games, or maybe they should lessen the preseason because we feel like there's not enough games. Well, for an NFL player, 16 games is more than enough games. And when you're getting down to the 12th, 13th, 14th game of the season, you know, even though you're one of the great teams, you get tired. And so, you know, even though you're vying for position and you're trying to get yourself into like maybe a number one or a number two seed, it's tough. So for the Philadelphia Eagles to actually go out there and try to take care of business against the Minnesota Vikings, you know, it was a tough task. Why? Because Philadelphia hasn't been consistent all year. And let's face it, the NFC East is up for grabs no matter who you are. I mean, even at this point, you know, the Giants, I feel like, are still in it, even though they're not. But you have the Giants, the Redskins, the Cowboys, and the Eagles, and they're showing these signs of mediocrity. Now, here's Philadelphia at the top of the NFC East with a chance to go up 2 games, and they just couldn't do it. Why? Because Minnesota has a tough enough team and a good enough team to actually compete, even without Adrian Peterson yesterday, Sean Wally, which is amazing, and even without a bona fide number one quarterback, the Minnesota Vikings go out there and they take care of business.
Speaking of taking care of business or lack thereof, Thursday night football, the Denver Broncos lose not only to the San Diego Chargers, but they did it in Denver at home and fall to 11-3. And don't look now, AFC West. The Chiefs, with the win over the Raiders, are also 11-3. So that's going to be an interesting 2-game battle to win the division and possibly lock up number one seed in the AFC. But you also have the Patriots right behind them at 10-4.
Yeah, those 3 teams there. I mean, oh gosh, thanks for mentioning the Kansas City Chiefs. As if I didn't see enough firsthand at the game yesterday. You know, the Denver Broncos are definitely one of these enigmas. Why? Because, you know, they prepared themselves in the offseason to be an offensive heavy football team. And so it's no wonder that when they go out and play their games, that they're high scoring affairs. The problem is that people are saying that the opposing teams have to keep up with the Denver Broncos. What we're finding out is with Denver, with their beleaguered defense, that the Denver defense is the one that has to keep up with their opponents. And so what you have is you have these teams that have offensive firepower. And let's face it, the San Diego Chargers are similar to the Denver Broncos in that area. I would probably give the nod more to the San Diego Chargers with a better defense. But when the Denver Broncos have to play teams that have, you know, a better, I'd probably say an equal offense, it becomes tough for them. And Peyton Manning does what he needs to do. He can get his team back into the game. But more importantly, can the defense get, you know, the opposing team off the field? And the Denver Broncos haven't been able to do that.
12 teams in the NFL make the playoffs. As of right now, there are only 4 that have qualified for postseason action. What does that say to you, Sean Boyd?
Well, that says right now that, you know, that these teams vying for the playoffs, it's a chance for them to actually put themselves into a better position moving forward or moving towards next year. Those top 4 teams that have already clinched, you know, they've earned it. You know, when you're talking about a Seattle that's earned it, a Denver, a Kansas City, these teams have earned the right to actually be in the playoffs right now. And that says a lot. That says a lot about their preparation in the offseason, especially for a Kansas City Chiefs team that was 2-14 last year. And now they're, you know, they've turned everything around. I believe you said they were 11-4. That's remarkable. And for Andy Reid to find, new meaning in Kansas City is another one of those good stories that says, hey, you know, you can be a bad team 1 year and you can turn it around the next if you find the right coach and you put the right pieces in place. And the Kansas City Chiefs have done just that.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I'm Sean Wally. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Give us a call if you want to talk NFL or anything sports. 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. And the Monday Night Football game going right now is currently in the third quarter, a low-scoring affair at 9-7, the Ravens over the Lions.
Yeah, so the Ravens 9-7. You know, in the third quarter, here's what I'm noticing about this game is that Matthew Stafford is trying to find Megatron a little bit more than, you know, than I think that he should. And so, you know, you become one dimensional. And that's one of the things that's holding the Detroit back is that they, you know, they have more pieces in place. You have a great receiver, veteran receiver, in Nate Burleson on the other side. You got Reggie Bush back there. You have more than enough pieces to share the load for a Detroit offense. But yet I see Stafford just, you know, trying to force the ball into Megatron. And I don't know if it's because of some of the goings-on that have been talked about during the week with one of the defensive backs with the Baltimore Ravens saying that Megatron is too old. I don't know if they're trying to prove them wrong or not, but, you know, I believe that Detroit really should be winning this game by at least 10 points by now, and they're down by two.
Well, it's a very important game for both teams as they're both 7-6 and both alive for the playoffs, wild card, and division, definitely, when you look at the Lions in the NFC. And you would think that one of them would go that extra step, do that extra drive, that extra play, the extra effort, the will, the desire, and take it, just like all the teams that had a chance yesterday and lost. And it's surprising that this game is A, so low scoring, and B, that you don't see one team saying, okay, let's go do this.
Well, I see it in the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, Matthew Stafford just threw a pick to a defensive end. Tyson with the pick, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to figure out where Detroit is going. There, you know, this is one of the teams that should be atop the NFC, but yet, as you're saying, 9-, you know, they're looking at 9-4, and they're struggling to, you know, make it into the playoffs here.
Sean, what do you make of the drama that is Washington, D.C.? And I don't mean government and politics, but there is a lot of politics going on in Washington Redskin headquarters between Mike Shanahan, owner Dan Snyder, and one RG3.
Well, you're not too far from the truth. I mean, who's to say that, you know, politics isn't playing in the nation's capital when it comes to football? I mean, you know, some of the stuff is you can't make this kind of stuff up. I mean, you have RG3 that is benched for the remaining three games of the season. You know, when do they bench him? When he's healthy. And I understand that they're not in the playoff hunt, and I understand that, you know, there's a chance that he could injure himself by playing football, but, you know, he could injure himself by walking out to the mailbox or to the refrigerator. I just don't understand, you know, why Mike Shanahan would decide to shut things down and cause this big riff. And, you know, there's three entities, of course, and we've talked about this before with Dan Snyder, Mike Shanahan, and RG3. I blame all three in this scenario here. It's like the right, the left, and the green or the T, whichever parties you want to put together. That's what's happening with this football team. And, you know, it's tearing the locker room up. And, you know, when you have these three different, you know, three different groups trying to prove themselves right, and they're not listening to the people, they're not listening to the fans, they're not listening to the players, well, then you have this huge mess. And that's what's going on in Washington, a big mess, which is why they're in last place in the NFC East. At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name.
Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd as we're talking week 15 and the upcoming week 16 in the NFL.
Man, and again, it was what a great... great weekend this past weekend was for teams.
Yeah, it was a good weekend for both those teams individually. And, of course, they played each other a week ago in San Francisco, and the 49ers won by a last-minute field goal. And both teams went on the road and took care of business yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I think you have some interesting news. I was reading something about some type of a bet or a wager that was going on between an auto dealership and their customers on the hometown Seattle Seahawks. You know, can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Absolutely. A well-known dealership in the Pacific Northwest, Jet Chevrolet, was looking for a little bit of advertising, and they got much more than they bargained for. They said if the Seahawks can shut out the Giants, they will pay 12 customers $35,000, not total, a piece. So, of course, people went into the showroom, entered. If you looked at cars, test drove a car, but didn't buy one, you got one entry. If you actually purchased a vehicle during the contest period, they gave you 100 entries. What are the chances of a shutout, right? Doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah.
Seattle's flying all the way across the country. It's cold. It's snowy. And Eli Manning and the Giants, they've been playing better, right? So it's a safe bet. Oh, boy. But then the Legion of Boom and the Seattle 11 on defense went to town. Eli Manning throws 5 interceptions en route to a Seattle Seahawk defensive shutout of the Giants. And now Jet Chevrolet will pick 12 winners for $35,000 a piece. But here's the kicker that saves Jet Chevrolet, Sean Boyd.
Uh-oh, what's that?
They took out an insurance policy on the contest. So they're only out $7,000, and the insurance company is picking up the rest.
Gosh, man, and here you are. You're over in Eastern Washington. I'm down here in Northern California. This would have been a great season's greetings to us to go up there and take advantage of something that's basically for free. And Jet Chevrolet still kind of comes out unscathed, you know, by only coming off of 7 racks, man.
Well, they're getting much more than that in advertising. Is all you have to do is go to your favorite internet search site, and there it is as one of the top searches for the day. So they're getting a lot of pub all over the country.
Well, there you have it. I mean, you hear it here on the Double with the Double S Express. So for those of our fans that are in Western Washington driving up the I-5 corridor, when you look to the left, if you're heading north and you see that Jet on the side of the freeway, that's Jet Chevrolet. Be sure to stop in there and try to get an amazing deal. And that's compliments of the Seattle Seahawks.
And their defense providing a shutout for sure. That was just incredible.
Man.
Could you imagine if you get that phone call today or tomorrow, whenever they draw the 12 winners' names, oh, hey, by the way, here's $35,000 Christmas cash.
Again, you know, maybe I should call my parents and tell them to, you know, to head over there and, you know, tell them Merry Christmas from me.
You know, I'm figuring one of our best callers so far here on the double, Pat, up in the Pacific Northwest with 1911 Track Club, I think he would be all over that.
Oh, geez, man. Can you imagine, you know, getting a brand new car, you know, just from, you know, a mistake that Jet Chevrolet has? And as you said, Sean, I mean, of course, it's a great marketing scheme and they're backed by the insurance. But, you know, I think they were kind of nudging a little bit that, you know, hey, maybe Seattle wouldn't show up. And you know, it winds up being a win-win because, as you're saying, there's a lot of customers that wind up coming in and their favorite team proves them wrong. So, you know, there's nothing greater than that.
Mr. Boyd, are you aware of how many shutouts the NFL has seen this season?
Wow, that, you know, that I'm curious to know, how many does the NFL have?
Two in 2013, and both times, both times the team shut out was the New York Giants.
So, you know, we haven't had a chance. We talked a little bit about Mike Shanahan and the goings on over there, and a possible oustage, if you will, from coaching for Mike Shanahan. What about the New York Giants? And you know that there's rumblings going on. That, as a matter of fact, I heard this morning that Lawrence Taylor chimed in and said that he would like for the head coach to be fired there. You know, it's you know, the NFC East, as we've mentioned before, it's a fickle division. But man, if you're shut out twice and it's your team, I don't know, Tom Coughlin should be pretty scared right now.
Well, I mean, there was even rifts in the locker room of the Giants at MetLife Stadium yesterday where players on the defensive side, where they played okay, only allowed one touchdown to the Seahawks, yet they were questioning the heart of their fellow teammates. They didn't specify offense, but you have to look at the putrid numbers of the Giants offense led by Eli Manning, that they're not carrying the load. They're not bringing food to the table and helping serve this potluck. And the defense was just like, hey, stand up and play with heart, act like you care, show that you give a darn. And so there were some battles back and forth via words that things aren't very pretty in Giants camp right now.
Isn't that amazing? That's how it starts. You know, that's where the division comes from, as far as when you know that your team's falling apart, when one side of the team says that the other side of the team isn't giving a lot of heart, is what you're saying. And, you know, you were saying bringing, you know, a lot to the table. You know, it's sad. It's sad that that has to happen when you're in a league where these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to play sports that we love. And if there's not a reason for you, if there was ever a reason for you to wake up and say, man, I am truly blessed, you know, it's getting paid those millions of dollars. I just don't understand how it could come to a point to where a team can say, man, one part of the team has more heart than the other. But it's running rampant, though. I really can't feel sorry for the Giants because, you know, my beloved team, the Oakland Raiders, seem even worse, Sean Wally, than that. And, you know, for a team that that was shut out twice, the only two shutouts in NFL, I mean, I'm looking at, in the New York Giants, I'm looking at an Oakland Raiders team that is so dismantled, and it's happened in about the past 4 weeks, that I can't even begin to tell you the disgust that has been coming out from Raider Nation, but I am definitely going to try to tell you right now. So, I mean, yesterday, the debacle that I saw was atrocious on the defensive side. And, you know, let's not, you know, I'm not going to mince any words on the offensive side as well, but, you know, it looked like Oakland just didn't show up. And even though the game was in, the game wound up 56-31, which is just an entire debacle and blowout, the Raiders actually had a chance in the third quarter to, and they were driving and making a game out of it. They're down 35-31. Matt McGloin came out and was actually, he started to have a better game in the second half than he did the first half. And then all of a sudden the wheels fall off again. You know, Jamaal Charles, as great of a running back that he is, he's not five touchdowns worthy. I just think when somebody scores five touchdowns on you, you give up. And, you know, for the Oakland Raiders, that's not the first time. When you have a Nick Foles that comes in from the Philadelphia Eagles, who's, this was his first start coming into Oakland, and he throws for seven touchdowns, you just give up. And so I'm trying to figure out what in the world is going on. I'm trying to be on Dennis Allen's side, but I just can't find any ways to defend the head coach that is, you know, there's something going on there. There's a huge question mark. He looks like he's going through all the motions. It looks like he's doing the right things, but the product on the field absolutely stinks. And so it is, as you can tell, I'm so disheartened, and I feel for the New York Giants, but I just feel like I'm getting kicked in the stomach as a fan, as an Oakland Raider fan, because it's just ridiculous in what I'm seeing.
So have you seen enough from head coach Dennis Allen one way or the other to continue the current path, or do you want to take a different path moving into the next season?
You know, the fan part of me says that, you know, it's time to move on. But if you're dealing in from a business aspect, and I don't know what, you know, owner Mark Davis is talking about with GM Reggie McKenzie and Dennis Allen. I don't know what type of an agreement they have going on, but let's face it. The Oakland Raiders dismantled their team in the offseason, and I get that. They had a chance to keep Carson Palmer, and for whatever reason, talks broke down, and Carson Palmer felt like he was being slighted and he wasn't given a fair shot with Terrell Pryor. I get all of that stuff. But it sure does help to have a solid quarterback in your camp instead of having, you know, two quarterbacks that are trying to feel their way. And so I get the fact that the Raiders gave away all of their so-called super studs because they were just disastrous anyway. They were just thinking of themselves and they weren't thinking about the team. So from a business aspect and from a logical aspect, I say, wow, we, you know, give Dennis Allen another year to try to develop what he's developing. But at the same time, as a fan, you're paying top dollar to go to the games and you want to see some type of a progression. You want to see that, hey, this project that they're doing is moving in the right direction. And I feel that at the Raider Nation is being disrespected because we're not seeing that there's a progression moving into the right direction. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to go into the offseason with huge question marks, bigger than there were the year before. And that, Sean Wally, is very disheartening.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Call in and talk your favorite NFL team right now live. 888-429-5471 on the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. And Sean, as we're talking Raiders and Raider Nation, what have you seen in this 2013 season as you're there yesterday working for CBS Sports and you've been there throughout the season working for the networks? What have you seen firsthand that is a positive that you can say, okay, this is heading in the right direction? We can bank on that.
Well, you know, even though the offense was a debacle yesterday with Matt McGloin throwing four interceptions, I believe, and he could have had five, but I believe it was four interceptions. I do see the offense moving in the right direction. I see a couple of the receivers, which the Oakland Raiders have had just a huge case of the dropsies, if you will, all year. And, you know, it just didn't seem like they were, you know, the receivers were gelling with the quarterbacks. I do see that getting better. I mean, let's face it, they lost 56-31, and some could say that 31 probably came in garbage time, but it didn't. So, you know, Oakland can put points on the board, and that's something that is a lot better than in years past. And so, and they're doing that without key players. We're talking about Darren McFadden, that, you know, I believe that this might be his last year. And, you know, I don't know if they could use him as a sign and trade in the offseason or what, but they've been playing better without him. Marcel Reese is an added bonus. Of course, he was the only Pro Bowler last year for the Oakland Raiders as a fullback. What a superb athlete. He comes out of the University of Washington as a receiver, comes in for the Oakland Raiders. They move him to fullback. He's actually coming out of the backfield. He can run. He had a 100-yard game a couple of weeks ago. He can catch. He can make things happen. He had a great 60-yard run, pass and throw and catch with McGloin yesterday. I mean, you know, so that's an added bonus. So I guess the biggest thing for the Oakland Raiders is in the offseason is to try to find out how many offensive linemen they can find to actually put together to make a decent offensive line, not a great one. We're just looking for a decent one right now.
And that would be great to be able to give Raider Nation something to hang their hat on and say, okay, we're building a foundation in the trenches, and that's where the game is really won or lost.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the top teams. Let's pick the Seattle Seahawks for that matter. Seattle figured out that they needed to beef up their offensive line and their defensive line, and they could build around the rest of the, you know, around the team or around the offense and the defensive line. You know, I believe that there's probably, you know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, maybe there's, you know, two offensive linemen that are going to the Pro Bowl from Seattle and defensive linemen as well. That's what you have to do. You have to, even though those aren't glamour positions and they call them the big uglies in the trenches and everything, offense and defensive line, I mean, that is your mainstay for actually, you know, having a solid team. And so you can have a great quarterback all you want, but if that quarterback's running for his life, it's not going to mean anything if you don't have an offensive line. So,
and that's definitely a big key in success in the NFL and the college ranks, even down to the high school ranks, is having a great line to be able to push those defensive linemen around, or conversely, to have that D-line that can get to the quarterback, stuff the run game, and give their team an advantage.
Yeah, and, you know, and you know, talking about the San Francisco 49ers as well, you know, this is a team defensively that they're starting to click, and they're starting to make some things happen, and they've gone through some things, of course, with Justin Smith having his issues, but now they're starting to, you know, turn the corner a little bit. And so it's all predicated on the offensive and defensive line.
And let's head out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Chad from North Bend, Washington. Chad, what's going on tonight?
Going on, gents. How are you? I'm just listening to the truth on here. John, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Chad?
Doing pretty well, man. I'm just watching this game, seeing who's going to step up. I'd love to say it's a defensive battle right now at 12-10, but there's just, I'm not feeling the pulse in Detroit with all that talent.
Yeah, you know,
right now they're having spurts of it, but
yeah, you know, that was one of the things that I was talking about earlier. Is you know, they have all the pieces in place, and right now it just seems like Stafford is trying to find Megatron and get his yardage, as if they're trying to find that lightning in a bottle to get the 300-yard game again. And you know, they're better than that, but the team with the heart is the Baltimore Ravens. And they're up two, and you know, it looks like they're driving again.
No, absolutely. I think Gruden put it best when he said, "It's a world champions." In Detroit, the way that they're looking right now, the way how flat they're playing, you know, they're making errors. You know, somebody needs to step up, and I look at the head coach. The reason I do that is I'm looking at what is he looking at. I'm not asking for him to be like a Pete Carroll style coach, like up in rah rah rah. But you got to be directing. You got to be moving ahead of the ball game. These guys are just following suit and they're looking for direction, and they're not getting it from their coaching staff. I want to see more of the run game. I want to see more of the run game and just keep pounding that, and then go to Calvin.
You mentioned a pretty good point there, Chad, because you know, we don't give the coaching staff enough credit as far as the guidance of the team. You know, we always feel like, you know, the players are the ones that go out there and play. And you know, you're looking at Schwartz, and I'm thinking, man, what kind of guidance? And you're hitting it right. You're hitting the nail right on the head. If this guy had an inkling of, you know, wherewithal to try to balance his team and lead them, you would think that he would do it, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah, so
it's just not happening.
So where does Detroit go? I mean, so, you know, I mean, obviously they're still in the football game and we're kind of putting the cart before the horse here. But, you know, at some point, you know, they have to be thinking we have to, you know, find a leader that can lead this football team as well.
Yeah, it's incredible how fast they, that Calvin Johnson, how his ability, I think it was it 3 years, the fastest player to accumulate that many yards. And I think that we're celebrating that. I got in this thing. I got to tell you, I was talking to a guy on Twitter today. And he, and Deion, if you saw one of Deion Sanders' posts on Twitter, it was somebody asked, could you shut down Alshon Jeffries? Could you shut down Calvin Johnson? And Deion's like, does a turd stink? You know, like, and I posted back to Deion. And this other guy was like, yeah, I agree. And he's on a radio show in San Antonio. And I go, what are you guys watching here? I mean, honestly, Calvin Johnson is a player you got to look. Okay, first off, Deion Sanders wet is 200 pounds. And then you got to look at the height at 6'1 to 6'5. Then you got to look at the fact that he's the biggest freak of a wide receiver. Now, Jerry was great. Don't get me wrong. Jerry was absolutely amazing. But I said to this guy, I go, what were you doing in the 90s? What were you watching? Because he can box out. I want to see more precise throws also from Stafford up to Calvin Johnson, up to that height, you know, that most cornerbacks can't get to, and then we're going to have something special. That's also what I want to see them do. But as long as they keep trying to go to the well too many times, those cornerbacks and safeties are just going to creep in over the top and underneath. It's just it's going to be really hard.
Good point.
Chad, you're obviously a fan of football, fan of the game, talking a lot of Detroit Lions, Baltimore Ravens on Monday Night Football. You're out of North Bend, Washington, wondering who might be your favorite NFL team.
It is the Seattle Seahawks. It is. It has been since I was 6 years old, back when we went into Miami in 83, and we played them tough, and we gave Dan Marino a loss, and then we went to Oakland, which I know that's Sean's team, and they were tough to beat in the early 80s and late 70s with the Madden crew and all those guys. Chris Barr, actually, my cousin. My cousin's, yeah, he's like a third cousin. And okay. So I think, it goes back. He was a good kicker back in the day. But a lot of respect for that team. They're still trying to find themselves. A lot of teams are. We can't always be at the cusp. But I want to see small little improvements in this game. I want to see some growth here, some fight. And there's, Flacco just fumbled. Detroit gets the ball at the 40 going right.
Oh, my goodness.
They're going to call him down. I'm sorry. I got to break in.
We get a little play-by-play for all our listeners. We get a little play-by-play from Chad here. So that's good. So there's a fumble. Flacco just fumbled.
Oh, Flacco got used.
Yeah.
He got used. Oh, that's a strip. That ball's out. That's going to be Detroit's ball at the 40.
So, Chad, I have a question for you because you're talking about you wanted to see improvement, you know, with teams. And so, of course, I went on my little rant a few minutes ago about the Oakland Raiders and the disgust that I've seen thus far, not just this year, but over the past few years. What are some things, you know, for teams to look for? Let's pick Oakland. Let's pick the Oakland Raiders since you have a football prowess here. What does Oakland need to do to turn the ship around?
Got the biggest thing out of the way, and that was, you know, let's speak long-term here, and I think that's a great question. Let's speak long-term here. Mm-hmm. You know, when you removed Al Davis, you basically removed a young and up-and-coming Jerry Jones, and that's just a fact. And so, but you're over that hump. Now it's finding somebody that can implement that. Now, that might or might not be your head coach. I don't know. More will be revealed. That's the beautiful thing about watching football is this dialogue will continue. And it's great. It's so great. And I think once you get that spark plug in there, you'll know it. You'll know it. For us, it was Holmgren. None of what's going on in Seattle would have been possible if it wasn't Mike Holmgren paving the way, allowing this to happen. Because what it does is it gives you a level of what to expect from a championship caliber team. And once you learn to expect that, the fans will let them know, and it holds them accountable. And Seattle does. I mean, we don't like bad football because we learned what to expect from the Holmgren era. And so I think that's important, holding your team accountable. I just think that's one of the ways.
Great point.
Yeah. Chad, how amazing a Seattle Seahawks fan that you're watching Russell Wilson setting records, breaking NFL records with his 23rd victory yesterday in New York, 23rd in his first two seasons with two games left to go. And he's breaking records that were set by Dan Marino, or more recently, Ben Roethlisberger.
Otto Graham. Yeah. No, I agree. And when you look at the one of the coolest inside stats of that is when you look at, you know, what we're trying to achieve here. It's not, you know, we didn't come to the fair to have some cotton candy. We want to take this home. And the thing about it is like when you compare him to Otto Graham, I mean, that many years, but Roethlisberger right below us, as much as, you know, Seattle fans, you know, want to dislike what happened in the Super Bowl, that is not in our control. What is in control is getting those two rings, and he, you know, he has that. I think it's two or three, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Offhand, I'd have to look. But, you know, he's a champ, and that's what you want. It's a culmination of the defense, too. You have to have a lot of things clicking to be a championship-caliber team. If they can stay healthy, if they can keep that going, stay humble, keep trying to learn, which they seem they're doing, it could be there's a huge dominance. And I want to say, I'll cut with this. And I watched ESPN, I watched NFL Network all last night. I've watched it all throughout the night. Here's the deal. We're not hearing a whole lot on the Seattle-New York game because they don't want to show how much of a gap there is, how much separation is being created by them. That is just honest. That is just, when you look at the stats, they're starting to whoop ass. So they're paying attention to these little wild card races, and I understand that. That's important. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you get down to it, there's a pretty big gap between where Seattle can play and where another team can play. It's just who's right. going to show up on Sunday, you know?
Hey, you know, Chad, that's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, as I was riding in the car with Dan Fouts and Ian Eagle, you know, one of the things that was mentioned was that mathematically before kickoff, Oakland was still in the hunt. And you mentioned a great point is, you know, people want to talk about and sensationalize, you know, who all of the also-rans right now because I don't think we want to know the big separation between the top and you know, the middle of the road. And so, yeah, nobody wants right. to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that Seattle's just cuts above because, you know, for one, they already know that. But, you know, it would be better to talk about the other 22 teams that are still in the hunt, which I just think is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It is cool, too. And I'm loving every, excuse me, loving every second, Sean. I think when you're looking at the fact that, you know, some teams can, as bad as Dallas played last night, still control their destiny is ridiculous. But I've got some fantasy implication going on here. I'm sorry, guys. I got a lot of money in this. So I got, just real quick, if people are listening, I got Reggie Bush and Calvin Johnson. Cam Newton was my quarterback. And I put a plug in Ryan Matthews for the first time this season. That worked out well. If I win, I get like $500. So this is a pretty big night for me. I'm like kind of sweating. So,
man.
But no, I mean, there's a lot of parity right now, and that's good, man. There's tons of, you know, opportunity. If there's a team that I don't want to see in Seattle, it's definitely going to be the Green Bay Packers. It has to be because I'm not afraid of Chicago because, I'm sorry, Cutler's not quick enough. He's not mentally fast enough yet. I don't know if he ever will be. But he can't check down as quick as he needs to be that I've seen thus far. Who else? Philadelphia. Nick Foles, I don't know. I don't know much about the defense. I just don't think it's that great. Looking at San Francisco, I'm sorry, that they will not get out of here alive. They won't get out. We'll just pull them. We'll rip them apart. We will take Vernon Davis and turn him inside out and have him tricking on the road after that game. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Well, so a team like Green Bay that comes in, you have Aaron Rodgers has the ability to ice that out. I know he does because he's a sociopath back there at the quarterback position. He can just fly with the best of them, and he's looking left, looking right, and he's going to sell you something, and then all of a sudden he's going to have. So it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of fun, but we'll see.
Chad from North Bend, Washington, thank you so much for the call tonight and taking time out. And I think we found a guest host. Anytime we need one.
I'd love to be on, guys. Do a little prepping instead of playing poker with the boys tonight. So I'll tell you what, everybody out there, have a good weekend coming out. That was a great week, and thanks for having me on, guys.
Chad from North Bend, Washington, with some great insight and thoughts on the NFL as it stands after 15 weeks.
Man, we have some great, great listeners, man. I'm excited about the, you know, the people that listen on our show. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to wrap up on the double. So keep it locked in. If you want to call in, you can call in as well. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd as we wrap up show number 31. Hard to believe, 31 shows in the books here in a couple minutes.
Man, we're just racking them up, man. And you know, before we went to break, you know, I was talking about, you know, the great listeners that we have and the knowledge that, you know, our listeners have. It was good to have Chad on and get a chance to vent a little bit and see, you know, what he was thinking about as far as the Monday night game. And, man, that, you know, hats off to Chad and the millions like Chad, because I have retired. I can't say officially, but I have retired for the past couple of years from fantasy football. I just can't put myself into that situation of just gut-wrenching, you know, that feel of a GM. You know, I almost feel like I'm cheating on my, my main team, and, you know, to, you know, but $500, man, he's gonna win $500 if his guys do well. That's a pretty good purse, isn't it, Sean Wally?
Oh, absolutely. And I would say conversely that fantasy football makes every other game that your favorite team is not playing in, it has the potential to make them more interesting to you if you have a player involved that you drafted on your team.
Man, but I have picked up so many gray hairs from fantasy football. And, you know, hats off to the NFL and putting together something great like that. And of course, the red zone, you know, having, you know, things like the red zone to where you can watch football all day when any team in the NFL is actually driving. And they say in the red zone, but it's actually past the 50 now. And so, you know, it keeps you locked in to sports all day long. And so to football all day long. And so it is if you're a fantasy football fanatic, that is for you. But man, I just felt like I needed to get a little bit of my life back and reduce some of that stress. And you would think that it was really bad, Sean. Man, but the last time I played, I won. And so, you know, but it was just too much, man. And, you know, hats off again to all you guys that play fantasy football. Some of you have 2-3 teams. Sean, I believe you have 2 or 3. You're in 2 or 3 leagues or something like that.
Correct. I'm in 2 and made the playoffs in both, and I'm actually going to play for 3rd place in one of them, so that's not too bad.
Is that kind of like hedging your bets? So if you don't do good in one, there's a chance you can make up in the other?
Well, you know, one is worth a little bit more money than the other. So one's kind of let's just play for fun. And the other one's, let's go serious at this and see what happens.
Man, you know, I can only stomach one. And you know, I think my small brain can only put up with concentrating on one league. But, man, it's too much. It's way too much for me.
So what are your thoughts on moving forward into week 16 of the NFL this coming weekend?
Well, of course, you know, we have I'm looking forward to next Monday, believe it or not. The Monday night matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the San Francisco 49ers. That is the last home game that will be played at Candlestick. And so that is going to be an interesting matchup. And, of course, I know that our fans up in the Pacific Northwest are going to be rooting heavily for the Atlanta Falcons. And, of course, that was the team that I picked to go to the Super Bowl. And so that's going to be an interesting game at Candlestick. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, definitely. And Candlestick is obviously the great home field of the Niners for many, many years. And a lot of people will be sad to see that place go, but I am not one of them from getting my firsthand look at it last week. And I know you're going to not miss the bumper cars that is trying to get in and out of that stadium.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, we had our awesome guest, Paul Gackle, last week talking about that very same thing. I'm not going to miss that part. I am going to miss the actual venue. I mean, when you go around Candlestick, and of course you notice that when, you know, coming in, you know, taking pictures, and there's the bay that leads to the ocean, and there's these beautiful panoramic views. It's just nestled into a tight spot. And so, you know, there are a lot of great games that were played there, you know, as of recent and, of course, in the past. And so it's always sad to see things like that go. And we've talked about this before, you and I growing up in the Pacific Northwest and actually watching the Kingdom fall, you know, it was a sad time. It was sad for everybody who lived in the Puget Sound area because, you know, that was it was one of those historical landmarks in an area that I believe at certain times we took for granted just driving by it day in and day out. But once it imploded, you know, we thought, man, what an awesome place that we're going to miss. And so, of course, Seattle has revamped it with, you know, two awesome vineyards with one more on the way, I believe, in a couple of years that will solidify, you know, Seattle being back in the supremacy with, you know, three major sports there. And meaning that, you know, I believe the Sonics will be back here in a couple of years or so. But, you know, it is. It's a beautiful area, but it's sad to see the Kingdom gone, and it's going to be sad to see Candlestick gone.
But oh, so gratifying when you drive to Santa Clara and see the brand-new multi-million dollar facility.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, and I've said it before, for those of you who haven't seen the designs, you know, getting a chance to be at CenturyLink Field and seeing the design that's at the new Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, very similar. And so, you know, of course, the Super Bowl is going to be there in a couple of years. Looking forward to that. And so let's hope that the weather will be a little more abiding than what it sounds like it's going to be in New York this year, Sean.
Oh, absolutely. If you believe the Farmer's Almanac, they're predicting blizzard-like conditions around Super Bowl weekend in 7 weeks. And the Seahawks were just at MetLife Stadium and put a whooping on the Giants, and they would love a return trip in 7 weeks.
You know, when Chad was on just a few minutes ago and he was talking about, you know, hey, they don't want to talk about, you know, when he was saying that they didn't want to talk about the teams who were at the supremacy in the NFL, I thought he was going to go down the road that they didn't want to talk about how well Seattle played in cold weather, because it was cold there this past weekend. And, you know, the big question mark is how well will a team play in the Super Bowl, you know, in frigid temperatures, even though the Farmer's Almanac is saying that it's going to be even more cold. You know, I believe that Seattle got their chance to test out the waters, if you will, on their new Super Bowl digs.
Absolutely. And that's what some of the conversation was after the game, is the players were asked, hey, does this help you having this test run, playing a game here, knowing the locker room, knowing the ins and outs of the stadium in 7 weeks, should you get back here? And they said, sure, it does give us a familiarity with the stadium, the area, and how everything works at MetLife.
Yeah, I mean, come on, let's face it. I know these guys posture themselves as, hey, we take it one game at a time, and we're not looking forward Man, give me a break. Can you imagine being on the Seahawks plane going over to New York? Some of the talks and the rumblings that are going on the plane. Man, we're going to be back there in 7 weeks. Isn't this going to be great? Yeah, I can only imagine the whole time that they're, you know, on their way there. They're like kids at Christmas. You know, they can't even sleep. They're so excited because they're going to step onto the field. And as they're in the locker room and you know, they're taping up and they do their early outs on the field. The first guy that steps out on the field, which is probably dangerous, he comes out there and he's like, oh man, this is where we're gonna play. You know that they're thinking those things. And so, you know, yeah, it was a tune-up. It was a chance for them to actually go out there and kind of, you know, get their bearings right and say, hey man, this was a great game. We win 23-0 and we'll be back here in about 6 or 7 weeks, no doubt about it.
And one of the big games to look forward to next weekend, week 16 in the NFL. The Saints and the Panthers go at it again.
Yeah, you know, the Saints are one of those teams that, you know, I used the word before, the enigma, but so are the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they are playing so well this year that you can't take them for granted. And, you know, we can't leave out the fact that we talk about these quarterbacks, but what a great job Cam Newton's doing. I mean, you know, at one point we're thinking, man, he was going to fall into the big cluster of quarterbacks that, you know, have a lot of potential that just weren't materializing and weren't going to make it. But Cam Newton has actually put together a solid year this year after having a tough sophomore slump. And, you know, he's looking like a quarterback that can lead their team, you know, down the, you know, far into the playoffs. And so hats off to the Carolina Panthers. And you're right, that's going to be a great game at the end of the season.
And that's 2 10-4 teams matching up in Carolina. And that game will basically decide their division, as the Saints won 2 weeks ago in New Orleans. And with a tie record, whoever gets on top on Sunday will go very far to winning that division.
Now, I'm kind of curious to know, Sean, I mean, who do you see in this game? I mean, who comes out as the victor?
Well, you have to like Carolina because the Saints don't play very well on the road. As we saw yesterday, they lost in St. Louis. And you've got the Panthers, who also, you know, don't have the best game on the road. But then again, who does in the NFL? And they're at home. So they've got momentum on their side, and they need the victory. So actually, both teams definitely need the victory, but it's going to be one where I think the home team prevails, and Carolina's got the better defense, let's be honest. They've got the better front seven, one of the best in the game, and I think they win the game and go on to win the division.
Yeah, and that's what I was waiting for you to say, and I have to agree with you. I believe the Carolina Panthers win this game. For one, they're at home, but more importantly, their defense has shown stout all year long, and they come out and they play week in and week out, and there aren't too many games to where they're giving up 20-plus points, and, you know, that's always a plus when you have a good defense, because it allows a margin of error for your offense. And if your offense starts to click late in the season, which I believe Carolina is on the cusp of actually becoming a little bit better on the offensive side, it could be dangerous for a lot of teams going into the playoffs.
Real quick, couple other big games that have playoff implications. You've got the New England Patriots visiting the Baltimore Ravens, who are playing right now on Monday Night Football. A great matchup in the AFC is the Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs, as the Chiefs and Broncos are battling for AFC West supremacy. And looks like you can also add the Bears and the Eagles as a good playoff implication matchup. And then here in the Pacific Northwest, the Seahawks host the Arizona Cardinals, who are fighting for their playoff lives at 9-5.
Yeah, a lot of games coming up here that are coming down to the wire, and every last one of those games are huge games. I can't pick one over the other. But of course, you mentioning the last one, Arizona against Seattle, that's probably one of the more intriguing ones for me, just because we just don't know about the Arizona Cardinals. We know that they're a better football team. We know that they're in the football game and, you know, until the clock hits zeros. And they're giving a run to, you know, of course not Seattle, because Seattle's, you know, out of the fray a little bit, but they're making it tough for the San Francisco 49ers to actually solidify a permanent spot in these final 2 weeks.
Well, of course, the Cardinals need a win in Seattle to have a chance at a wild card playoff spot. But if they can somehow get that upset victory in Seattle, which Seattle hasn't lost in the last two seasons at home, but if by some way, shape, or form the Cardinals can do that, sets up a Week 17 battle in the NFC West, the Cardinals and the 49ers in Arizona.
Yeah, you know, let's face it, for the next couple of weeks here, every game is a playoff game for the Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks in that NFC West, because there's a lot of jostling, and you can throw the New Orleans Saints in there, because now, even though Seattle has a little bit more room to breathe as far as home field advantage is concerned, you know, if Arizona beats Seattle and then, you know, goes on to beat San Francisco, or if Arizona winds up losing to San Francisco and New Orleans wins their final two games, you know, it makes it tough. And I know for Pete Carroll and I know for Sean Payton, all these teams at the top, it's nerve-wracking because you want to give your guys a little bit of rest. But, you know, because it's so close, you know, in the division, you have to play hard all the way through to the end.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. You can reach him via email at Sean, S-E-A-N, at double-S-express.com. Also, we are on Twitter at @SSExpress, all one word. Many ways to get a hold of us, Sean.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, please don't hesitate to send us those emails. And if you want to call in, of course, you know, we have callers that call in from time to time. 888-429-5471. And again, that's 888-429-5471. Give us your thoughts, ideas on shows. We appreciate all of those, you know, all the emails that come in and of course the calls as well. So we'll continue to give you a great show.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Elk Grove, California. I'm Sean Wally, Tri-Cities, Washington, show 31 of On the Double with the Double S Express in the books, setting up a big show for you next week, show 32 with big-time guest Tony Ventrella of the Seattle Seahawks, as he is their digital media host, as well as Sam Shane, news anchor out of Sacramento. Great show for you next week. This has been On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.